Right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to see you all again. Just realized we made it through the last Sunday, almost the end of the year, right?
Amen.
Wasn't easy. It's been crazy. Many families have lost jobs, lost their businesses. Some of them lost their loved ones. Health. With all this craziness, we can still be grateful for just being alive and breathing this morning, right? Yes? Amen. And thank you so much for coming. And for those who are watching online, glad you're able to join. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time you gave us, Lord, another opportunity to come into your presence, to sing praises to your holy name. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of this universe, and you have millions and millions of angels who are singing, holy, holy, holy. And Lord, here we are, sinful, don't even deserve to look at you, Father, but you gave us this opportunity to come and sing and worship and be called your sons and daughters, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who paid the ultimate price. So we have access to this, Father. And help us never to take that for granted. Help us to be grateful for who we are in Christ. And thank you for keeping us safe and with health. And for all of us here, Lord, and as we are opening your word, I pray that you give me words. And more importantly, that help me to step away and let the Holy Spirit speak. It is your word. It is your message, not my view or not what I think. So I pray that you will deliver this message with power and authority, and that we can all be revived, renew our minds, and serve you, Father, with all of our heart. And for those who are online, that they will also pay attention and listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, as I said, right, we made it through the end of the year. And last week, my wife is all running around with writing reviews for how she did all through the year. And I'm sure most of you who are in businesses, you have to do that, right? You review what you have done, accomplishments, and the goals you set last December or January, which nobody even remembered, I guess. I didn't. And she had to go back and review all that. So that made me think about just personally, just myself, how did I do this year? Not just, you know, at work, but in general, as a person, as taking care of my family, getting in touch with friends, and more importantly, my walk with Christ. How did I do this year? Some might look at me, my life, and say, I'll give you maybe 2 or 3 out of 5. Some might say, oh, you did great, yo, above and beyond. It doesn't matter what men think, right? So I want you to just examine yourself. Don't look at others. Don't look at even your best friend or your wife, what she says. I mean, yeah, take her input better, right? But right now, just focus on you and God. And think about who you are, right? People can say anything about you, what you do. So if you ask men, right, how do men define themselves? First thing is, what's your name? What do you do? Right? That's how we define ourselves. And for women, maybe, yeah, they get together, they chat, they share, they talk, they cry, they laugh, do all that stuff, right? That's just women. But how does God define us, or me personally? Right now, I'm talking to individuals, right? How does God define you? So that is where our scripture is. So today, let's focus on how God sees me, how God sees you as a person, as an individual. And I'm talking about for those who have made a decision to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. All right? So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, there should be one in front of you. Please grab your Bibles. We're going to turn to a few scriptures. So if you go down all the way back to Revelation, turn a few books, you'll find 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. All right? This is Peter speaking. But ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. This is Apostle Paul, Peter, writing the letter, right? And he's writing to the Jews and Gentiles who have accepted Christ, who are believers, and written around 63 AD. And this is a year before there's a countrywide ban of Christianity by Nero. So this is not during the real persecution. That's going to come after. And this is a year before Peter is writing this letter. And even during this time, their situation isn't like they just came into a promised land where there's milk flowing, milk and honey flowing around, and they are reaping the blessings of accepting Jesus Christ. Not exactly. It's quite the opposite. They are suffering. They are being rejected. They are being ostracized by just their faith by Jews and the Roman Empire. That is the situation of these believers. And they are like, they're newborn Christians, right? And some of them might be thinking, I didn't sign up for this. I thought when you come to Jesus Christ, it's going to be just bed of roses, blessing after blessing. You give $10, there's $100,000 right in your bank. What's happening, right? I didn't sign up. And there is Peter reminding who you are in Christ, their identity in Christ. And we can take this and hang on to this for the rest of the year, 2021, that you're going into in a few days. You can hang on to this promise, because there will be times where you will feel that, where's God? Is this what I get by accepting you, by deciding to walk in your path? I don't deserve this. And you go into self-pity. If you ever be in that state, and one day or the other we will, right? If you're honest, you can say, we can always hang on to this promise that Peter has given. All right, let me break it down. I'm only going to focus on royal priesthood today, because as I'm reading, you know me, right? I'm not a great preacher. I can teach. So I already have a series for our next Sunday school, every title that he's given. But today we'll just focus on royal priesthood. But I'm going to just touch the other. So if I don't spend much time on chosen generation, because I didn't want to, all right? I'm going to focus on royal priesthood, all right? Okay, so, but you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. First thing, chosen generation. So Jews and Gentiles who are right there, who accepted Jesus Christ, they totally know what Peter is talking about. I just get Paul, right? Paul, he wrote 1/3 of New Testament. So if I say Paul, I meant Peter for this one, all right? Half of the New Testament starts with Paul, apostle, my bondservant of Jesus Christ, right? So it just comes out. When I say Paul, I meant Peter for now, all right? So Peter, he's saying, you are a chosen generation, and the people who are there who accepted Christ totally understand or know what Peter is talking about, all right? Couple of verses from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. This is God the Father talking about the nation Israel. God the Father talking about nation Israel. For thou, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So God is saying, I have chosen my people, Israel, and they are what? They are special. They are special to God. He is saying, it's like, I was thinking about a situation where I ran. So I play cricket when I was back home in India, and I still love playing cricket. And there is this one guy who is above and beyond. He is the best player. This is back in my high school. And so we were, two teams were there, and he was the captain, and he gets to pick 10 more guys to play in his team. So the first thing he did, he picked me. And I'm like, when I'm in his team, I know that team is going to win. And I felt special just being there, playing in the team. Did I contribute? Forget about it. I just am so happy playing for him because I know just being in his team, I'm a winner because he is so good. And I felt special. He said, "Oh, Pradeep, you're in my team." Oh, thank you. It's like, it just, you know, right? When you played and somebody calls you and says, "Hey, come to me, come play with me." And it just feels so special. And Jesus is, God is saying, "Israel, you are special to me." Do you think they are special because they are an amazing group of people? They have abilities that nobody has? No. They are just as ordinary as you and I are. And they are special not because they have abilities or talents. They are special because God said you are special. We may not have abilities to go out and do greater things, but God says, "You are special to me. I will give you power and enable you to go serve," right? Do you think God might have chosen Pastor Wayne? "You are going to be Mr. America. I'm going to choose you." Where's Jeff? There's the Mr. America thing from, what is that? Bingo. So do you think God saw, "Oh, Pastor is Mr. America. He can do mighty things for me. Let me choose him"? No, right? We have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 6, God has chosen us even before the foundations of the earth was made, right? And thank God he did, right? If he chooses me now, if he sees me now in my state, yeah, put this guy away, right? No, but God has chosen me before the foundations of the earth was made. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. "According as he had chosen us in him," in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will," not according to our abilities, our strengths, "to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." I mean, so many jewels in that verse, right? It's like, I don't know which one to pick. You are chosen, you are predestined, you are elected, you are chosen before the foundations of the earth was made. And God loves you, and he chose you for his own pleasure, of his good will, right? Thank God that he has chosen us, right? As we saw in Deuteronomy, these descriptions that we saw in Deuteronomy might sound similar to the church, right? Where we see here in chosen generation, royal priesthood, that does not mean God is done with Israel, right? There are people who's going to say, yeah, church has now replaced Israel. Israel is gone, now church is receiving all the blessings. Absolutely not. All right? They haven't read Revelation. They haven't read anything after, right? And they haven't read Paul himself in Romans. Romans chapter 11 talks about Israel is only blinded for a season. And when the fullness of Gentiles come, their eyes will be opened and they will accept Jesus Christ. And they will be called the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, just like you and I are. So God is not done with Israel. This is just on the side, I have to say, right? This is all in Romans chapter 11, if you guys want to go ahead and read it. Israel is still the apple of God's eye. All right? The promises of Israel from the Old Testament did not fulfill because of his rejection of Jesus Christ, but their promises will be fulfilled from the time of tribulation. All right? Let's get to royal priesthood. This is where I want to spend some time. It's already 20 minutes. All right. Pastor, one Sunday is not enough. All right. Royal priesthood. So Peter is combining two offices from the Old Testament, two roles from Old Testament. Royalty, that is kingship, and priesthood, priests. All right? So if you're a student of Old Testament, you know there's three main roles in the Old Testament: a prophet, a priest, and a king. All right? And the kingship and the priesthood, they are two separate entities or two separate roles. They are strictly separate. And these two roles are so separate, you will see two kings tried to merge these two together and they got in real big trouble. All right? Two kings from the Old Testament tried to be that royal priest, all right? And God judged them, and they lost everything, all right? I'll give you two examples, just to give you an idea of what the people, when Peter was saying royal priesthood, was thinking. We might not be so appreciative of this phrase, but the guys who just came out of this Jewish Old Testament law, studying all that, they would truly embrace this title. And I want you to embrace the same way. So just to give you an idea, so let's go, the first one is King Saul, all right? He is the first king of Israel, right? God did not intended any person to be king because God is our king, but the people complained, I need a king physically, right? So God said, all right, you want it, you get it. So there's King Saul. He got, he started well, right? He was anointed by Samuel. And so let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. So there he is. He is fighting. He's about to fight battle with Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 13. We'll pick up from verse 8. So Samuel is ready for battle. And there is this, God has commanded, whenever you're going to a war, offer me burnt offerings. And before every king, they had to have the priest offer the burnt offerings and then pray and then go, and God would be with Israel and they would win the battle. All right? So Saul, because he is obedient to God, he wanted to offer that he wanted to have that sacrifice given and then get to war. All right? So that's the context. Now let's go verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 13. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So if you go back to chapter 10, verse 8, Samuel tells King Saul, wait for 7 days in Gilgal. I will come. I will offer the burnt offering, and you can go to the war. All right? And that is exactly what Saul did. He tarried for 7 days, and he's waiting for Samuel, the high priest, to come and offer. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. So that is a duty specific to a priest, offering burnt offerings, all right? And peace offerings was a duty specifically commanded by God himself that the priest has to do. But King Saul is a king, right? Royalty. And he, what did he do? He waited. He didn't see Samuel coming. He saw the enemy right there. He has to go and fight the enemy. Right? You put yourself in that situation. High priest is not coming. There's the army right in front of you. They are coming for a battle. You have to get ready, get your troops ready, but you can't go without offering burnt offering. And we see what happened, right? Because of his impatience, he lost his kingdom. Verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Oh, he should have waited for a few more minutes, right? He waited for 7 days. And Saul went out to meet him and that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered before me from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down unto me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the God. His intention was right. He's making supplication to God first before going to the battle, right? His intention was right, but he shouldn't have done that. I forced myself. He knew it's wrong. He forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, talking about David, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. God is serious when he gives commandments. Remember, God is loving. He wants everybody to get saved. At the same time, God is holy and he is just. If you are sitting here, the fact is, at some point or the other, you have offended a holy God that has broken God's law. Either it could be lying, stealing, blasphemy, whatever it is, at some point or the other, we have broken God's law, and we need a payment to be paid for the sins of what we have done. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So there is eternal separation from God for all eternity if our sins are not being paid, right? Because God is holy and just, but at the same time, God is loving that he sent his own son to die on the cross for us. So we can be redeemed and we can be chosen, right? And such a privilege. So if you're fooling around and trying to make exceptions, again, I had this idea. I mean, I grew up in a Christian family, thank God. I had access to the word when I was young, right? My parents, my grandmother, she was my Sunday school teacher. So awesome. But I kept saying, yeah, I got more time. I got to do things the world does before I come to Christ. And as I went far, I mean, I wasn't that far, but as I was in that ideas of thinking I got to enjoy the world. And then as you grow older, you think, I got to clean up myself. Otherwise, now I messed it up. Will God accept me? But the Bible says, you come as you are, come dirty as you are, God is going to clean inside out. You cannot clean by yourself. The blood of Christ has to clean us, but you have to come and kneel before Christ saying, I'm a sinner. It's simple, but pride comes in now, right? We think we know everything. We think we are good. I don't need a savior, but the fact is, we all need a savior. No matter how good you are, if you don't bow your knee now, you will one day, but it's going to be too late. So I pray, 2020, put that aside, bow down, accept Christ, and now you can have all these blessings, along with some sufferings. Well, we'll get there, all right? But those sufferings are not going to be forever. Hey, that's the good news, right? One more king, all right? Just to give you an idea of royal priesthood, right? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. A few more books. First, you're in 1 Samuel. Go to Kings and then Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This is King Uzziah. He started really good. He was asking the prophet and asking direction from the priest to do what he has to do. He was doing everything right. And he was the most successful king at this time. All right? 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we'll pick up from verse 16. And he was so strong, his army was so strong, he's doing really good. And what happens? When everything's working your way, you're on the cloud nine, you're on mountaintop, what happens? The pride kicks in, right? Unfortunately for this guy, the same thing happened. And pride comes before destruction. So pray that we see mountaintop experiences. Humble yourself. It's not you. Thank God. Give all the glory to God and just go forward. Move forward, right? Don't get caught up in that bubble that pride kicks in. Verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up in his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Again, this is a role, duty, that is specific to a priest. And by the way, I didn't mention, right, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, only the priest is allowed to enter into the tabernacle. If you are not from a priest, you cannot even have access to enter into the tabernacle, not even close to the tent. If you are from the tribe of Dan, Asher, Judah, whatever tribe you are in, you could be Israel, you are a chosen people, but you are not supposed to enter. Only a priest is supposed to enter into the tabernacle. And you know who's in the tabernacle? The Shekinah glory. God himself dwelt in the midst of Israel. Like physical presence. and only a priest could enter into that place and offer incense to the holy God. And here, King Uzziah tried to offer incense, the responsibility, the duty of a priest, but he being a king, tried to do it. And watch the response. And he tried to do it, and the good thing here is, there are priests who are trying to stop him, and he was so prideful, he just did it. Verse 17, and Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him, 80 priests. There's 40 priests with him, begging the king, please don't do it. And that are valiant men. And these priests are not just simple, they are valiant men, right? And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. There it is. Nobody other than a priest can come into the sanctuary. So he itself first broke God's law, God's commandment. He trespassed and entered into the tabernacle. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth, while he was wroth with priests, leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. He couldn't even offer the incense. And before even he tried to do it, he was struck with leprosy. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked unto him, upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. There he is. He just realized his mistake, but it was too late. And Uzziah, the king, was leper unto the day of his death. Watch this. Royal priesthood, combining those two, it's a big deal. In the Old Testament, a king who was anointed by the priest to serve his country couldn't offer an incense, couldn't be a priest. Right? And for that reason, King Saul's kingdom was taken away. Uzziah was leper for the rest of his life, and he died a leper. I mean, it's so serious. Now, with this background of Jewish scriptures, now you are sitting here, you accepted Jesus Christ, right? 64 AD. And Peter is saying, you are a royal priest. I'm like, no, don't say that. Right? How is that possible? It's possible by Jesus Christ, right? There's a few verses, right? The two lines, the royal kingship and the priesthood are merged in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our king and he is our high priest. And we being his sons and daughters, we are privileged to be part of that royal priesthood, which for 1500 years in the Old Testament, they could only dream of. And the privilege we have now being called a royal priesthood, we should get chills whenever we hear this. And that's what would have happened in that generation when Peter was saying royal priesthood. You get the idea? How serious it was in the Old Testament to try to do some other's role? And God is holy, and when he gave his commandment, he meant it. But that, all those were there, and he was showing that Jesus Christ, who is going to come, will be our king, right? When Gabriel, we just celebrated Christmas 3 days ago, right? When Gabriel came and told Mary that you're going to be pregnant, what did Gabriel announce? Let's read. It's Christmas, right? It's Christmas week. My wife said, till December 31st, we can wear all red. So let's go. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. An angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call him his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So this is Jesus who is going to be born to Mary, and he is the son of Most High God, and he is going to be given the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And there is the promise, even before Jesus was born, told, prophesied by Gabriel, that Jesus is going to reign the house of Israel forever and ever. Did that happen when he lived on the earth? The throne of David was not there, right? Jerusalem was under the government of Rome. There was no throne of David. But this is going to be a fulfillment in the millennium kingdom. When Jews are going to kneel down before Christ and accept Jesus as their Messiah, and Jesus is going to sit physically on the throne of David and reign as king, right? And one more verse from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. I think it should be on the screen. Yeah. For such a high priest, talking about Jesus, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer a sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. So when the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, coming face to face with the true living God, they couldn't go empty-handed. They had to carry the sacrifice, the blood in the bowl, and they first has to sprinkle that on the horns of the altars, right? And without blood, they couldn't see God. And that blood was for his own sins and for the sins of the nation. But Jesus Christ, he doesn't have to offer bulls or goats or sheep. He offered himself, even though he was harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. No sin in him, right? He became sin who knew no sin. So we might become righteous in him, right? And daily they have to offer sacrifices. Who? The high priest. But this high priest offered himself once and for all. That's why you and I, we are priests now. We don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. Thank God, right? I'll be dead seeing that blood every time I cut a... So... we don't have to do that, right? Because Christ offered once and for all. That sacrifice is done. God has taught that by shedding of innocent blood is the only way, the remission of sins, for 2,000 years. And when Jesus Christ came, that was the end of shedding of blood, once and for all. Right? Oh. All right. Oh, by the way, another cool thing. This Jesus, who is going to be king, who is going to be a priest, was already prophesied in the Old Testament. Nothing that God does is just by surprise. He gives everything before, he reveals it, and you just need to dig, right? Zechariah chapter 6, is that on the screen? Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Look at this. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them, this is Zechariah, who was the high priest, all right? Saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai and Tobijah and Jediah, which are come from Babylon, I don't know who they are, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make what? Crowns. What are the crowns for? Who wears crowns? Kings, right? So, make crowns of gold and silver, and set them upon the head of who? Joshua. And who is Joshua?
High priest.
The son of Josedad, the high priest. What? We just saw Saul taking away his kingdom. We just saw Uzziah, leper for the rest of his life. And now God is saying, bring that high priest, and Zechariah has to crown him, put a crown on him. All right? And look at the next verse. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of the hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is what? The branch. All right. So this is more than just Joshua. There's a bigger picture in this. All right. This is just Joshua was a model or a type who is pointing to the real person, Jesus Christ, who is the branch of Jesse. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory of God, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And what? He shall be our priest upon a throne. Nothing, nobody has ever heard before this. Did you get that? All right. and the council of peace shall be between them both. By the way, Joshua, Yehoshua is Hebrew, and Jesus is Greek. Right? All right. Someone said Jesus before, right? All right, so yeah, thank you. All right, so now, it's great, right? We saw how Jesus was a king, he was a priest, and now Peter comes in and says, you are that royal priesthood. We are privileged to be partakers and call as royalty and priests, right? So does that mean we just walk around with crowns and priests? Do you guys have the picture? I told Cephas, hey, take my face from Facebook, put it on the high priest. That's me. So does that mean next Sunday we will all be dressed up like this and walk around saying, hey, I'm the high priest, royalty? Hey, Bible says it, right? No. There's more responsibilities for being called, right? With that privilege, with that power comes, with greater power comes greater responsibilities, right? Here's some of the responsibilities. And by the way, Revelation chapter 1, 5, and 6, this is not me saying you are kings and priests. Jesus himself said it in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, that is, king of kings, all right? That's where we get Jesus, king of kings, unto him that loved us, there he is, you are special, you are chosen, and washed us from our sins. There is the priestly duties of washing before they enter into the Holy of Holies. And he has washed us by what? Not by the blood of goats and bulls. It is by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his own blood, and hath made us what? Kings and priests. Turn to your person and say, hey, I'm a king and a priest. Turn to your colleague. I don't know when you get to say that, right? So say it now. I am a king and priest, right? And Jesus calls me that. I don't care if you call me or not, right? Jesus calls us kings and priests. And you might be sitting there and thinking, I lost my job. And look at me, my health. It doesn't matter. The circumstances doesn't define who you are. It's the fact what the Bible says and what Jesus talks about you. The circumstances, even during those, we get to glorify God, right? Remember that blind man and the Pharisees tried to put the blame on Jesus? Why do you think this man is blind? Is it because of the sins of their parents? It's not his sin, neither has the sins of their parents. That blindness was caused to glorify God. So the circumstances that we are in that doesn't make sense to us, we can turn it around and either give God the glory or complain about it and live in that self-pity. Lord, you call me king and priest. I don't see that. I don't experience it. And you can be sad for the rest of your life until you see Jesus and not be effective. Or you can use that circumstances, turn it around, and still praise God. I know it's hard. It's not easy, right? I'll praise you in the storm, right? Casting crowns. Every time I hear that song. All right. And hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So here's the responsibilities that you and I have. You don't have to walk around like that, but these are some privileges and responsibilities. I'm going to give you three and then I'll close. We have full access to God's throne room of grace. Something that the whole nation of Israel, except the high priest, just dreamt about. Just being in the presence of the Almighty God for generations and generations and generations until Jesus Christ. And look what Hebrews says, right? And by the way, he could not just go in. Even if you're a high priest, you could not just go into Holy of Holies and say, hey, God, I got blood. No, you couldn't do that every day. You can only do it once a year, Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. Only once a year, high priest was eligible to go into the Holy of Holies. That just shows how holy God is and how much he hates sin. And there he is, he looks at me and he says, I'm his chosen. I don't get it. Right? We are so forever grateful for what God has done. And on top of it, he gives access to go into his throne of grace every day, every minute. You can't ask for more. High priest would be like, you guys are awesome, man. I only went once. And that too, with bells around, if I dropped dead, somebody had to pull me out because nobody could enter in, remember? So he had ropes around this guy with bells. And if there's no sound for a few minutes, that means that guy was dropped dead before the Holy God. And here we are. Any minute you can go into the throne room of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may what? Obtain mercy. You will not be dropped dead like the high priest. You will not be in a split second. You will not become a leper like Uzziah. Your kingdom will not be taken away because you did something else. No. You can go boldly into the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The second one, priests offered sacrifices, right? Nobody else could. King Saul, he messed up and his kingdom was lost. It was given to David. But you and I, we don't have to offer sacrifices. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, you can offer your bodies a living sacrifice because you are bought with the precious blood. You are redeemed. You are not your own anymore. Right? You belong to God. We're going to see that in next peculiar people. You belong to God. You are God's own possession. And now whatever we do, it's for the glory of God. You deny every time, I want to do that. I want to go there. I want to go do this. That is against God's will. I should not, because I am not my own. I cannot do what I want. I want to do what God wants, to bring glory to his name. Right? A living sacrifice, that's an oxymoron. How can you live? And that's like saying royal priesthood. That's an oxymoron for the Old Testament. And same thing, living sacrifice. Go try to explain to a normal, natural man outside. What? You're asking me to sacrifice and live? But Jesus says, you are dead to yourself. Everything that we do is for the glory of God. Yes, there is pleasure in sin for a moment. We are grieving the Holy Spirit. But we have to deny that temptation so we can live out and bring glory. And God can say, like Job to Satan, right? Look at this guy. Look at Pradeep. He is my faithful witness. Can he say that about you and me, right? We should be that faithful. So that's with that greater privilege, we have that responsibility to be that living sacrifice. By transforming our mind, by renewing our mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Finally, the last one, priests were called to teach and pray for people. Priests' duty was to offer sacrifice, and then they are to teach and pray for the people. Look at what Ezra said in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and do it. There it is, not just the hearers of the word, be doers. There is Ezra being an example. He's seeking Lord and he's doing it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And 1 Samuel chapter 12, this is Samuel talking about praying for the people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What? If I don't pray for my other friends, I'm sinning. When is the last time you prayed other than yourself and your family? Pastor, I pray for you every day. And my son, he prays for you. Pastor's family, pastors, they need more prayers than anybody else. Right? Because the enemy is real, and he wants to attack and bring them down. But we have to stand behind him and pray every day. Right? Pray without ceasing. And if you're not praying for your brethren, wow. Sin against the Lord. I never saw that. Not praying is sinning. That's what the scripture says. And Samuel is saying, I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear God and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he had done for you. Amen. All right, last one. Let me close with this. Peculiar people. That means you belong to God. I'm not going to spend time again. So we belong to God. A couple of verses, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. This is God speaking about Israel again. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, talking about Israel. There is that obsession. There is that possession that you belong to me. God is saying that. It is like my family, right? Joshua and Jaden, they are mine. And I can't wait to or talk about them, what they do, how they are, how cute they are, right? I just can't stop. They are mine. And I will do whatever it takes to put bread on the table, to protect them, to watch over them. If there's any harm, I'm going to willing to do whatever it takes, right? To do, because they are mine. And God is saying, you are mine. And because he has purchased, you are not just bought by money or any gold or silver. You are bought with a precious blood by Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, you are mine. So our desire is to just continue to seek him. In the same scripture in 1 Peter, he talks about crave for God's word like this newborn. Just crave for that. As now understanding who we are, our desire is to just crave. I have a newborn. He is Jaden, 4 months. All he cares every 2 hours is a bottle of milk. You can bring him a car. You can bring him a fancy crib. You can give him toys. It means nothing to him. The singular passion for that little child was mom's milk. And that's all he cares about. If he gets it in time, he's a happy kid. If he's not, me, Priya, Joshua, we're all running around. Well, no, where's the bottle? Where's the warmer? It's too hot, too cold. Until he gets it, there's chaos. That's his passion. That's the only passion. And Peter is saying that's how we need to desire God's word. Just like the milk is the whole world for that little baby, God's word should be everything for you and me. Crave for that. I mean, I get Paul where he goes and talks about meat and all. I get that. Go into deeper things of the Bible. That's good. But crave for God's word every day, right? And finally, now that we know the duties, and the final verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 talks about, we should be showing forth the praises of Jesus Christ. Show forth praises of Jesus Christ. Praises here is translated as eminent qualities or excellencies or virtues. So we are to live so that our Heavenly Father's qualities are evident in our lives. It's good, we are praising God. Not just praising, singing out. He's not talking about singing. Our lives should be an example. So when an unbeliever, when our friend who doesn't know Christ sees me, he should see Christ. If I'm not showing Christ through my life, I'm not doing my job correctly. The duty that God has bestowed me upon to show forth the praises, his virtues, godly characters out, that should be evident in our lives. All right? So we have all the promises of God, and we know what we have to do. And when things come, we should be able to fight and stand by the word of God. Right? So there is that passion that we should be showing forth his praises. I can think of 3 men in my life that have huge impact. One, talking of my dad. So back in October, this is a confession for me. You guys are ready? Confession time? All right, edge of the seats. Oh, he sinned. So my dad, he was diagnosed with, he was tested positive with COVID. And it wasn't mild symptoms, it was pretty bad. Infection at his lungs, he was admitted a week in hospital, coughing, and then after 1 week, thank God, he's recovered, he's doing well, and he came out. So he has to quarantine for 2 weeks. And one thing he loves is to preach. He loves to preach. You cannot shut that man up. All right? So he calls me, I call him up, asking how he is, And my dad is planning for an outreach in a different city with a people of 100 to 150 people outdoors. I'm like, I'm being the devil's advocate, devil right now. And my dad would be thinking, get thee out of me, Satan. So I told him, Dad, this is not the time. Can you do it online? Do whatever it takes. You just got tested and you just survived and you came out of hospital and you want to go back and preach with these 150 people outside. And this is after that 2-week quarantine thing. He planned for this whole thing and he told me one thing. There's people dying outside by self-isolation, by just wrapping up themselves and not knowing Christ, and I have to go out. And I'm like, at that moment, I was selfish. I wanted my dad to be safe, but at the same time, there was a bigger picture behind that. He wanted to just share the gospel, and he went out, he shared. He was so excited, like that COVID thing, whatever it is, he was so happy. I mean, that's what he loves to do. And Pastor, I saw Linda's text on Thursday. Pastor was out there on the green, I believe, and Linda posted, just what my honey loves to do. That's his passion. He serves, he teaches, he disciples. He's there on the green. That's what he loves to do. Whatever it takes for us to do, we should be, it should come out of our heart. We shouldn't be forced. I can tell you, go disciple, go preach the gospel. I can twist your hand, but that's only going to be for 1 hour. By the time you go home, that's gone. It should be that passion within, like my dad. COVID did not stop him. He went out. He's already on 2 more trips now. So pray for him, please. Pray for his safety. Oh, he's wild. Thank God for his passion and for Pastor. I know another brother. Every time that I see him, he's with the guitar. His name is Sudhakar. Every time I see him, wherever he is with the guitar, singing. That's his talent. He just sings and sings and sings for Christ. And that's all he wants to do. I want to sing for Christ till my death. What do you want to do for Christ? So, we know what God sees you as, right? You are chosen. You are special. You are royal. You are priest. You are a holy nation. You are holy. You are set apart from the rest of the world. And you are peculiar. That word there, you are God's own possession. And with these promises, hang up in your door, wherever it takes, never forget. Because there will be moments when you don't feel like. Hang on to these promises. And that doesn't mean you get to walk around. I'm a priest, right? You have responsibilities, you have duties. Go out and share the gospel. And when Jesus was leaving, he commanded his disciples, right? Go and preach the gospel. All authority has been given for me from heaven. And when Jesus told that, he has that authority. He is the king, he is the creator, and has entrusted us with that duty to go out and preach the gospel, right? It is not out of, I have to do it, I want to do it. All right? Pastor, do you mind praying? Thank you.
Oh, Father, thank you for this great plan of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that left his throne in all his glory and to come down and die on the cross, shed his blood, and be the high priest. Man, we don't deserve any of that, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for entering us when we accept you. I would pray anybody who has heard this message, a great message, of where we stand in Christ. But first, you got to come to Christ. So please, please accept Jesus only today. Turn from your sin. It doesn't matter what sins you have done. He can forgive you. His blood covers all sin. So repent and come to him today. And those of us who have accepted Christ, man, we can go to the throne of grace every single second. And forgive us, Lord, for not doing that and carrying our own sins and our own burdens and letting it weigh us down and not living like you. Forgive us for not being a living sacrifice and being selfish and trying to find our own happiness and what we do and what we have and what we experience. And and all the while it's found only in you. And help us to proclaim to the world what we have in Jesus. And I pray this coming year, I just, I know it's been a tough year, Lord, for many people. And we know you're still sovereign over this whole COVID thing, and there's people who are afraid and they still stay in their house, and fear has gripped them and isolated them, and I pray they would come out and be safe the best they can, but not live in fear. We got to go proclaim the gospel. We need to reach people. And those who are just totally burdened about relationships, they're not working out, and God, please, can you strengthen them, and may they run to you and look to serve and not be served. And so I pray for marriages today, Lord, that they don't break up. I pray for all the single people, the season of life that they're in. It's a great time to serve you. You have no other cares of trying to take care of the family and all those things. And I remember when I was single. And so I pray you start a marching army for all the single people. They would serve, and all the teenagers, and raise up the Daniels and the Josephs and the Shadrach, the Meshachs, the Esthers, and the Hannahs. God, please. May this year we would get into your word and understand who we are, and we would pray like never before. We would evangelize. We would pour into one another and love one another and forgive one another. I pray for all the bitterness that is Christians have one toward another in their own home and in the church and at work and their neighbors. And God, we stop complaining and we start praising you. We start edifying our brother, not tearing them down. We really show Christ to the world. And even those who are so far away from you and doing things that we'd say, oh, they're so wicked, God, we'd reach them. We'd love our enemies this year. We be different, Lord. Change me. Forgive me. Do what you got to do in me, Lord. God, I would first be a more godly husband and father and pastor and grandfather now. I would humble myself, and we'd all humble ourselves and stop being prideful and looking at other people and always pointing fingers of what they're not doing or are doing. I pray you reunite families. I pray for those who have drifted away, got caught up in the world and the philosophy of the world, that they would come back. May your church just glorify you around the world. I pray for all the teachers and the preachers and the missionaries with different color skin. They speak a different language, but may they stay fast and strong in preaching the gospel. Rise up people in here, Lord, that we would have a more global mission outreach, that we'd reach the world for Christ and not just have a spiritual country club. And help us to be dedicated. Help us to put away the things that just are sucking up our time and their weights in our life, and our besetting sins we put aside, that we can serve you and glorify you. One day, all the saints will be singing holy, 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 like the angels do 24/7. So change us, Lord. Forgive us. Do what you have to do that people would see Christ in us. And start with me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.